Do you need help protecting your finances as you enter retirement? David Dickens of KC Financial Advisors has got you covered. Welcome to the Cover Your Assets KC podcast.
This is the Cover Your Assets KC podcast. I'm Walter Storholt alongside David Dickens. He's the president and wealth advisor at KC Financial Advisors, serving you in Kansas City with an office in Overland Park. You can find us online, submit your questions, learn more about the show and about the team at KC Financial Advisors by going to coveryourassetskc.com. David, thanks for being here with us this week. Are you ready to right some wrongs on today's show?
I think we ought to just give it our best shot, Walter. I think we're as ready as I'm going to get.
Let's do it. As you might have seen the title when you clicked on today's show, it's Are You Asking the Wrong Financial Questions? What's interesting about this is that I think a lot of people have questions about their retirement plan. Lots of people are asking questions, but we often find that they're asking, and this isn't meant to be an insult, but the wrong financial questions. So we want to cover some of the common questions that are asked and learn about maybe the different questions we should be asking instead. And I'll start it off with an easy one, David. Certainly, this is a question that gets asked all the time. And I guess inherently, this isn't a wrong question, but maybe it's not the best question that should be asked. How much money do I need to have saved in order to retire? Why is that maybe the wrong question to be asking?
Yeah, I get that question all the time, Walter. Sometimes it sounds like, you know, have I saved enough for retirement? Or that ought to be enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so my response often is, well, in fact, my response always is, what lifestyle do you want to live in retirement? I mean, I have clients, I know some people who just live perfectly fine on a couple of Social Security checks and a pension, and they don't even need their savings. I have other clients and certainly know some friends who two Social Securities isn't even remotely close to covering what they're trying to do in retirement. So I'm confident I've mentioned on a prior podcast, what you really have to do as you begin your planning process is paint a picture of what you want your retirement lifestyle to look like. It's kind of like putting together a jigsaw puzzle, and if you don't know what the front of the box looks like, well, you can't possibly put together a plan to achieve that. So what I need our clients to do, and if you're a do-it-yourselfer at home, listen to this podcast, what you have to do is figure out what you want that retirement lifestyle to look like. And then you can figure out, have I saved enough? And while you're doing that, don't forget to include really important things like inflation, because the stuff you're buying, let's say you retire at 65, 20 years later, that stuff is going to cost about twice as much as it does on your retirement date. So inflation is really important. Are you going to need a new roof or a new air conditioning system or a new furnace? Those $10,000 and $20,000 expenses, they kind of need to be built into your retirement plan while you're no longer drawing a paycheck. I got a bunch of clients that want a lot of extra travel in their first 10 years of retirement, so that has to be built in. And then, of course, what's your real plan for long-term care? So all those things have to be put into your to plan, and once you know those things, then you can answer the question, have I saved enough in order to retire?
Key questions, the topic of our conversation today, when you might be asking the wrong ones and when you might need some correcting there, or just to ask a better question. Maybe it's not that it's a wrong question, but a better question is out there. And that sometimes ends up being the case with our next example here, David. The question that's common is, should I get long-term care insurance or just roll the dice? Why is there a better question out there, maybe?
Well, you know, so that kind of lays out two alternatives that people typically think of. But there are actually more alternatives for dealing with long-term care than just buying a policy or taking your chances. So for instance, a long-term care policy. What you want to do as you're planning for that is to make sure that you understand that your premiums are likely to increase over the time that you have that policy. Either your premiums increase or your benefits go down. So that has to be built into your plan. The roll of the dice, that's interesting in terminology. I think my question for anybody who says they're going to do it that way is, well, do you have enough assets to roll the dice? If you do, then that's a perfectly fine way to plan for long-term care, but that's actually got to be part of your plan. Right now in Kansas, for instance, Kansas, Missouri, $75,000 a year is what long-term care costs you. In 15 years, with a modest inflation rate of 5%, and that's pretty modest in the healthcare end of our expenses, that $75,000 a year is going to cost you about $150,000 a year. So if you're 65 today, 15 years from now, you'll be 80, about the time you might need long-term care. And that $75,000 a year is going to cost you $150,000. So if you're going to roll the dice, do you have those kinds of assets to pay for long-term care? You know, another way that I have clients that have funded long-term care, something to offset their expenses for long-term care, would be an accelerated death benefit on a life policy. And what that does for them is if they never need long-term care, then what their heirs get is a tax-free death benefit. Instead of paying and paying and paying into a policy you never use, you end up with a different way to attack that potential problem. And then a fourth way that I've used with certain clients is what I'm going to loosely call an asset-based plan. And all that is putting to work an asset, maybe in a CD right now that you set aside for potential long-term care, into a different type of insurance policy that would also provide a death benefit if you never need it. I've got clients where I combined roll the dice, accelerated death benefit, and asset-based plan into their complete plan for covering long-term care. Walter, like most things in my business, it's very situational. So depending on who you are and how much of the risk you're willing to take on yourself, there's a solution or a patchwork of solutions that can really help you get to a place where you feel good about your long-term care plan instead of just kind of ignoring it and hoping you never need it.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a lot of areas where you can be a little creative there, where other elements of the financial world, you don't have so much flexibility.
Yeah, and most people, you wouldn't have any reason, if you're a non-financial person, you wouldn't have any reason to know any of those other choices. So sometimes visiting with a professional who understands how you can offset some of that risk, maybe not even all of that risk, but some of that risk, can be really helpful and help you understand, all right, here are my choices. A lot of times once you understand what your choices are, well, then making the decision isn't all that difficult.
Two great examples about how you might be asking the wrong financial questions, one related to how much you need to have saved in order to retire, the other about kind of gambling or getting expensive long-term care insurance, what the other options are where you should be asking the questions. And this is another great example as well, David, a very common question. What can I do to pay less in taxes this year? A lot of people ask that every year, obviously, but pick apart that question for us.
So I do get that question a lot. In fact, it came up at a meeting I had with a local company and some of their employees just last week. And the question of how can you pay less taxes this year is very appealing. But I think the better question is, how much are you going to pay in taxes once you're retired? Because what we do in America is we put a lot of money into 401ks and 403bs and IRAs. And what most people don't realize is that every penny that comes out of those when you retire is totally taxable. And we don't know what tax rates are going to be in the future. But if you look at our $21 trillion of debt that's now growing by $1 trillion a year, I can build a really compelling case as to why your tax rate, your tax bracket in retirement is very likely to be the same or higher than it is when you're working. So a lot of the people at this company that I spoke at, they're young workers. And without giving them specific advice, I encourage them to make sure that in their particular situation, their Roth 401k might not be a better idea than their 401k. And as you're listening to this podcast, you might be saying, I'm not exactly sure what the difference is. The main difference is when you put money into a 401k, you get a tax deduction now at your current tax rate. But when you get into retirement, every penny you take out of that is taxable as ordinary income, like it's a paycheck, at a rate that the IRS has not told you about. When you put money into your Roth 401k or your Roth IRA, you're paying taxes on that money now, but all of that money and all of future growth comes out tax-free when you're in retirement. The other big thing about a Roth is that there is no required minimum distribution out of your Roth 401k. Out of your 401k or your IRA, there is a requirement that you take money out beginning on your 70th and a half birthday. And that requirement is there because the IRS looks at it and goes, well, good, you've had this tax deduction all these years, this tax deferment all of these years, and now it's our time to start taxing that money. What I encourage my daughters, my family, what I encourage young workers that I come in contact with, and frankly, a lot of people that are getting close to retirement, take a look and make sure that you have a tax-free bucket, a Roth bucket, to take money out of, so that when you patch together your retirement income, some of it from Social Security, some of it from a pension, some of it from your IRA, and hopefully some of it from a tax-free Roth account, such that you can manipulate, legally manipulate your tax bracket lower in retirement. And that's going to make your retirement dollars go a lot further into retirement.
Well, it's another fantastic example of how problem solving meshes with asking the right questions. We talked about problem solving on a previous episode of the podcast, which if you didn't hear that one, please go back two previous episodes. I think it was number 15. You can go listen to that one. And then you see how great questions can help with that problem solving process. But I imagine this is a two-way street, David, as we wrap up the program for today. Not only do the right questions need to be asked, but a lot of those questions are going to be fired back at the client, back at the person who's trying to get the plan. And we've got to be prepared to kind of have that open dialogue back and forth. That just makes the communication and the plan that much better.
Totally agree with that. And one thing I'd encourage you as you're listening to this podcast today, and maybe you're working with an advisor, when you have that conversation and you don't think you clearly understand what that advisor is asking you, then just make sure that you do clearly understand, because the better answers you can give to those types of questions, the way better result you're going to get with the plan that gets put together, not necessarily for you, but the plan that gets put together with you. So be an active participant in that planning process. If you're a do-it-yourselfer, well, obviously, you're actively involved because you're the only person. But if you've hired someone to help you with that, to ask the right questions and to shape that plan, make sure that you're actively involved, that you understand the questions, and that you spend the amount of time that's required to actually come up with some really good answers, some really good visioning to the questions that you're asked. The better you can paint the picture for what you're trying to get to, the better chance you're going to have of actually getting there.
You should be asking good questions, your advisor should be asking good questions, and there should be answers flying back and forth from both sides. That'll lead you to a great plan. Again, if you want to get in touch with David Dickens and the team at KC Financial Advisors, just call 913-317-1414. Again, that's 913-317-1414, or always online at coveryourassetskc.com. That's coveryourassetskc.com. David, we always appreciate the help on the program, and we'll talk to you on the next podcast.
Yeah, I look forward to next week, Walter. Thanks.
Take care. Until then, for David Dickens, I'm Walter Storholt. We'll talk to you next time on Cover Your Assets KC podcast. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and KC Financial Advisors are independent of each other.